This episode is sponsored by Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Over the last year, we've seen our rights attacked, the truth stretched, that's for sure, stretched, and access to essential health care threatened. In a blow to our already abysmal healthcare system, the Trump administration and Congress have defunded Planned Parenthood, jeopardizing care for 1.1 million patients across the country. But Planned Parenthood isn't backing down. They're still fighting to provide non-judgmental care like birth control, cancer screenings, abortion, and more to millions of people. And your support can make a difference. Planned Parenthood relies on the generosity of individuals, people like you, to power their work. Whatever you give can protect care and make sure Planned Parenthood health centers have the resources to meet the needs of patients now and into the future. Show up for patients, show up for rights, show up for the values you believe in. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/defend and make a gift today. Donate now to support Planned Parenthood at PlannedParenthood.org/defend. That's PlannedParenthood.org/defend. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It live at Dynasty Typewriter. We've got a great show for you tonight. Kevin Nealon is here. Frankie Quinones is here. The Egg of Truth is here. Sure. And then we're all going to take a look back at tonight with some second thoughts. But first, let's get into it. What a week. Tuesday, January 20th, marked the one-year anniversary of Donald Trump's second term, and even our delivery robots have had enough. Was that empathy? At a press conference on Tuesday, Trump was asked a question that only a year ago, as worried as we were about what was to come, would have shocked us.
How far are you willing to go to acquire Greenland?
You'll find out.
Thank you. No spoilers. That implied threat matched his explicit threats on social media, like this AI-generated image of Trump planting an American flag on Greenland. Not the first picture of Trump on an island that makes me sick, probably not the last. Trump also leaked a screenshot of a text from French President Emmanuel Macron. It reads, "My friend, we are totally in line on Syria. We can do great things on Iran. I do not understand what you are doing on Greenland. Let's try and build great things." Sending what the French would call le sandwich du compliment. Trump, fully in his Lisa Barlow era, also shared a screenshot of a text from NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, which read, "Mr. President, dear Donald, what you've accomplished in Syria today is incredible. I will use my media engagements in Davos to highlight your work there in Gaza and in the Ukraine. I am committing to finding a way forward on Greenland. Can't wait to see you. Yours, Mark." And then a follow-up text from Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg saying, "Hey guys, you gotta loot me out of this." The whole thing is embarrassing, but "can't wait to see you" really puts it over the top. Let's work on that anxious attachment style, Mark. Let's heal those wounds. No one ever can't wait to see Donald Trump. It's just not an emotion a person can have unless you include Ivana at present in hell. And speaking of hell, as Trump headed to Davos for the World Economic Forum, tensions were high and the S&P 500 dropped over 2% amid the standoff. And thank God, because the stock market screams are the only ones Trump can hear. Human screams, they sound like wind chimes to him. This led Treasury Secretary and best little boy in the world, Scott Bessent, to try and calm frayed nerves.
"I tell everyone, sit back, take a deep breath, do not retaliate, do not retaliate."
Like Trump is a grizzly bear and Europe is making too much eye contact. He's not the kind where it helps to seem bigger. Just play dead and he'll lose interest. Bessent's point is, don't react to brazen and foolish threats from the leader of the most powerful country in the history of the world, because he will back down. But he only backs down when people react to the threats, like this Danish politician.
"Let me put this in words you might understand. Mr. President, fuck off."
Kind of ruined it when he pulled a Kringle out of his pocket and then rode off on a faggy little bicycle. But I love where his head's at. He's a little pleased with himself at the end there. "Mr. President, fuck off." On Wednesday, the European Union froze approval of a trade deal with America over Trump's Greenland threats until the U.S. decides to re-engage on a path of cooperation rather than confrontation. And the pushback worked. Trump blinked on additional tariffs for European allies who opposed U.S. aggression toward Greenland, writing on Truth Social that he and European leaders had reached a framework of a future deal with respect to Greenland and, in fact, the entire Arctic region. He also withdrew the threat of invasion.
We probably won't get anything unless I decide to use excessive strength and force where we would be, frankly, unstoppable. But I won't do that. Okay? Now everyone's saying, oh, good. That's probably the biggest statement I made because people thought I would use force. I don't have to use force. I don't want to use force. I won't use force.
It's the geopolitical equivalent when the car alarm that's been going off on your block in the middle of the night for 2 hours finally stops. Sure, it'll start back up again in 30 seconds, but you don't know that yet. Tensions over Greenland, among other issues, haven't helped Trump recruit countries to join his so-called Board of Peace, which he would lead indefinitely even after leaving the White House. Could you imagine Trump leaving the White House? Sorry. All right, we're a little brittle this week. The news is tough. Got it. Getting the energy. But not to worry. On Thursday at Davos, Saudi-backed business skeleton Jared Kushner revealed the new the new board's master plan, great term, for what they're calling New Gaza, which promises coastal tourism, a transportation hub, an energy and digital infrastructure, basically a new Middle East resort town. Here we have one of the slides. Is this abundance? Meanwhile, in Minnesota, the backlash against ICE continues. Here's Brooklyn Park Police Chief Mark Brulee at a press conference on Tuesday, surrounded by fellow law enforcement leaders accusing ICE of violating basic rights.
The truth is, immigration enforcement is necessary for national security and for local security. But how it's done is extremely important. As the last 2 weeks, we, as law enforcement community, have been receiving endless complaints about civil rights violations in our streets from U.S. citizens. What we're hearing is they're being stopped in traffic stops or on the street with no cause and being forced to demand paperwork to determine if they are here legally. We started hearing from our police officers the same complaints as they fell victim to this while off duty. Every one of these individuals is a person of color, it has to stop.
Brulee detailed one incident where an off-duty officer was driving past ICE when they boxed her in and demanded to see her papers. Their guns were drawn during the interaction, and when she tried to record them, ICE knocked the phone out of her hands. When she identified herself as a police officer, ICE just ran off. And that's what you want. You want a federal law enforcement agency that goes, oh, fuck, the cops, and darts off. Like teenagers trying to buy beer. The stories coming out of Minnesota are also horrifying. According to the New York Times, ICE has detained four children in the same Minneapolis school district, including a five-year-old whose photo went viral online. School officials accused ICE of using the boy as bait to lure his family members out of their home. Even worse, the photo was recovered from a folder on Stephen Miller's desktop labeled taxes. They're right. But I'm also right. You know? The brutal images, the lawlessness, it's why you see confrontations like this one outside this Minneapolis Safeway as Trump's prima ballerina of Border Patrol, Greg Bovino, unsuccessfully tried to gain access. To be fair, this is indistinguishable from your average day at Safeway, but... Now, you might think it's bad form to call somebody a Nazi, but then this is Greg Bovino. Here he is, again, in Nazi drag during a CNN photo shoot by photographer Mustafa Hussein back in October. It looks like a bespoke coat, though Bovino swears he got it at a vintage store in Argentina. I'm kidding. They didn't have anything in his side. He had it dropped by Oshkosh Gestapo. Joking, obviously. He went to Nordstrom Reich. Stop it. He went to Orban Outfitters. It's just Hugo Boss. But fascism is a culture, not a costume. On Wednesday, the Associated Press reported on an internal ICE memo from May 2025 leaked by a whistleblower, which authorizes federal agents to enter people's homes without a judicial warrant. According to the report, officials were told to read the memo and return it. One of the two whistleblowers was allowed to view the memo only in the presence of a supervisor and then had to give it back as if to avoid a paper trail. But they forgot one thing, the concept of remembering stuff. In a new CBS poll, 61% of respondents said that ICE was being too tough when stopping and detaining people. Do you know how hard it is to get 61% of Americans to agree on anything? It's this and wishing the shrink wrap packaging for raw meat was easier to open. Are we really supposed to just gash at it with a knife and then push out the little bits in the corners? What are we doing here? Majority said that the Trump administration was not prioritizing deporting dangerous criminals and that ICE was making communities less safe. Oh yeah, checkmate, idiots, said ICE officers as they detained a 5-year-old domestic terrorist wearing a Spider-Man backpack. According to a story in Axios, Trump and his team are seeing the same numbers in private polling, and it has got them worried. Thank God something can worry them, because the judgment of an almighty God has not really slowed them down. One top Trump advisor told the outlet he wants mass deportations, but what he doesn't want is what people are seeing. He doesn't like the way it looks. It looks bad, so he's expressed some discomfort with that. Wait, sorry, that statement was actually about this picture of his hand. And that's the other hand. That's supposed to be the good hand. Trump wants ICE to deport 1 million people in a year, but he doesn't want cameras to record an army of masked, dull-eyed anger management class certificate holders as they drag their neighbors out of their houses for the sin of being part of an undocumented workforce we collectively built over decades. And it's like, oh, darling boy, my sweet summer child, you want mass deportations without all the mess? There are no rainbows without the rain, no delicious Big Macs without the bloody abattoir, no Filet-O-Fish without whatever they kill the fish in, a bucket, the air. Trump even felt compelled to deploy his trademark tact and human touch to address the concerns of his beloved fellow citizens.
And, you know, they're going to make mistakes sometimes. ICE is going to be too rough with somebody, or, you know, they're dealing with rough people. They're going to make a mistake sometimes. It can happen. We feel terribly. I felt horribly when I was told that the young woman who was... had the tragedy. It's a tragedy. It's a horrible thing.
And of course, he left it there.
When she was shot, there was another woman that was screaming shame. Shame, 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 right? You saw it. So loud. She was like a professional opera singer. She was so loud and so professional.
Okay, so I don't know what the fuck he's talking about there, but at least he didn't make it about himself.
When I learned her parents... and her father in particular is like, I hope he still is, but I don't know, was a tremendous Trump fan. He was all for Trump, loved Trump.
Well, he fucked that up. But then it was time for the closer. The administration sent their best messenger to Minnesota on Thursday to quell the political firestorm.
And unfortunately, what has happened is that as we've enforced the law, there's been this weird reaction, again, unique to this city. This is not a common thing across the United States of America. There's been a very unique, very Minneapolis-specific reaction to our enforcement of federal immigration laws. What I'm trying to do here today is understand why that is. What is it about Minneapolis that has become so chaotic?
Good news, America. Benoit Blanc Nationalist is on the case. He's here to solve the mystery of why Minneapolis is furious about ICE. It's just so weird. It's just so difficult to explain what might have happened that would have led the city to become upset about ICE being in Minneapolis. I wonder if there's any things that might have happened in the past couple of weeks that might have led the city to become uniquely upset about what's going on in this city. Minneapolis, that famed nightmare hellscape of vicious people. You know Minneapolis, the most hated city in America. Minneapolis, that place that's famous for its many, many assholes. Vice President Jawline Denial Vance also had this advice for the people of Minneapolis.
Like, if we're trying to find a sex offender, tell us where the guy lives.
I'll tell you where he lives, Mr. Vance. The sex offender lives. I'll tell you where. Mr. Vance. I'll tell you where the sex offender lives, Mr. Vance. He lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Impromptu women's march breaks out. I'm carried through MacArthur Park on your shoulders like a hero. Ice drops the masks and walks out of Minneapolis like the Pharaoh's guards in The Prince of Egypt. Jesse Waters adds pronouns to his bio. I'm back on Survivor and I'm fucking killing it. And we've got a great show for you tonight. Coming up, Kevin Nealon is here. And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Acorns. There's not much you can do about the money you've got right now, but if you want to do something about the money you could have tomorrow, Acorns wants to help. And with the Acorns Potential Screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. Acorns is easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. The Acorns Potential Screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money could grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Acorn is all in one. No more finance apps cluttering your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Look, if you can, it's really important to start putting money away. Eric
Don't
Adams.
Put it under your mattress.
Yeah, Eric Adams did a rug pull, apparently, so the news is reporting, on his cryptocurrency, allegedly. I don't think that's a good place to put your money. I don't think you should be day trading. You got to invest, you know, safely over time. Sign up now, and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/loveit or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. People keep asking about my 2026 resolutions. Sure, I've got my usual goals. Read more. Learn how to crochet. But this year, there's a new one at the top of my list. Get comfy. That's where Bombas comes in. They're bringing serious comfort to all my everyday go-tos. The all-new Bombas sports socks are engineered with sport-specific comfort for running, golf, hiking, skiing, snowboarding, and all sport. They're cushioned where you need it most, the bottoms of your feet. Sweat-wicking and loaded with other tech features to keep you comfy and locked in. For those everyday around-the-house resolutions, Bombas also has you covered with the comfiest footwear imaginable. Seriously, I have so many Bombas socks. I basically have only Bombas socks at this point. They're so comfortable. I replaced all my no-show socks with Bombas socks, and it's so nice to have like really nice no-show socks. You get those little thin ones online that like, but then they just like they fall apart. Like the Bombas no-show socks are really great. I truly wear Bombas socks to the gym every single time I go to the gym. They're my go-to socks for everything that is my actual lived experience. And no one, and don't deny others' lived experiences. That's one lesson of this era. So, get some Bombas. Right now, they have luxurious Sherpa Sunday slippers that feel like walking clouds. That's what I have. They're great. They're made with a super comfy and lightweight EVA. The Friday sandal, that's also what I have. The new squishy Saturday suede slip-on shoe for comfort on the go. I don't trust myself with suede. That's just a fact. And for every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchase, one donated with over 150 million donations and counting. Head over to bombas.com/loveit and use code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit. Code loveit at checkout.
You guys keeping up with the Salt Lake City reunion?
Yes.
Are you actually?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, we've got a story about that.
Okay, well.
It's saving lives.
You have a story about the Salt Lake City reunion that is saving lives.
We literally just had a conversation.
You literally just had a conversation about the story about how the Salt Lake City reunion and your viewing of it is saving lives.
Facts.
What kind of lives? What lives?
We just used how they figured out who the sleuths were, like trolling them on social media.
Uh-huh.
We applied it in our own lives and we figured out who was...
You were being trolled by someone?
I was, yeah.
You had like an anonymous person
yeah.
messaging you?
Yes.
And harassing you?
Yeah.
And you cracked it. You used their method for 2 years?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, somebody's been harassing you online for 2 years and you used the method from this week's Salt Lake City reunion... Which involved doing the reset on the thing to figure out the phone number.
Yes.
And that worked.
We're recording this so I can show
we are recording it. This is all being recorded. You are being recorded. And so
Sorry.
You did do this.
Yes.
And you got the number.
Yep.
Did you know the number?
Yes.
What? What was, whose number?
Our mutual friend's assistant. Oh,
what? So you're watching the Salt Lake City reunion. They're saying to Lisa Barlow, you did this. She is, by the way, here's what I think a little lesson that you can, that actually comes into politics too. The facts, just deny them. Excellent. You then apply this in your own life. Yes. Now, when you saw it, you thought, oh, we can figure out who that thing is.
Yes.
You saw that. That happens. Yes. And so then you
pause
do
the
it. You pause the show. Yes. And you get the number. You haven't finished it. Why would you? You've everything's... You're living it. You're living it. You are the show. The show has become real. And so, wait. So, you then get the number. Then what? No, tell me the right. This is fascinating. So hold on. You now have the phone number. Now, is that assistant saved in your phone or was it a mysterious number at first?
I went on Been Verified. I typed the number in and then matched.
You typed the number and then match. Okay, so now you have this information.
Yes.
That's a kind of, there's a moment between the revelation and the use. That's kind of scary.
Yes.
Because what do you do? It's,
yes.
You almost cried because
yes.
Now you have this information and there's a part of you that there's a chance you could do nothing with it.
I'm definitely going to do
Slim
something.
Chance.
But so you're going to do something with it. Wait, you haven't done it yet.
I haven't done it yet. I told my good friend and we're going to call a lawyer in the morning.
You're going to call a lawyer in the morning. And just so you know, we're recording this Thursday night.
Yeah.
This is going out. 100% not cutting this. Just out of respect for both of us, don't ask. So you really do have till Saturday morning. And because as I've said many times, like this is a surprisingly popular show. So, so we got to move on. I may come back. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. You were right to interrupt. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage the incredible, the legendary, the one and only, it's Kevin Nealon. Hi, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, love it. Oh, I wish I could sit like that.
You can't sit like this?
No, you're like a bird perched on the, on the seat there.
I feel more comfortable this way.
I could barely sit like this with my knees up this high.
You think?
My legs are so long, you know, I got a rock to get off of the chair. Not because I'm super old, but just because my legs are so long. Take a break. We'll be right back.
So I had a question for you.
By the way, I grew up watching you. This is amazing to be here. I'm so excited. You're the best.
Now I had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You worked as a mall Santa in your 20s.
I thought you were going to say a model.
And a model. And a model and a mall Santa.
Yeah, I did work as a mall Santa in San Diego. I got a job through Manpower. I first moved out here to L.A. to become a stand-up, but I was too nervous to go to any of the clubs, so I moved to San Diego because I wanted to check that out. I came from the East Coast. So I got a job working for a temporary help agency, and the only job they had was Santa Claus. It was around November. So I did that for 2 months. I worked at Sears, and I lost my virginity to my elf. It's true.
Wow. Any concern about the workplace power dynamic there?
Well, when you're Santa Claus, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You have
total
control.
They let you do it. They let you do it.
Yeah. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
So now your son is of driving age, roughly at the age when you were Santa.
That's right. Have you ever driven with a kid who just got his driver's license?
Other than when I was a person who had just gotten my driver's license.
It is terrifying. It is a nightmare. He comes to a full stop at every stop sign. It's like forever, it seems like. It's like he's not stopping. He's visiting that stop sign. And then he drives with both hands on the steering wheel. 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock position. I haven't touched the steering wheel in like 20 years with my hands. Because I eat when I'm driving, so it's the knees. I drive with my knees, you know?
Of course.
And he's always like 10 miles under the speed limit. And it's a Ferrari. Come on. So, yeah, it is a little terrifying. And I don't think he'll ever have a second date, you know, the way he's driving, unless she meets him at the stop sign. Otherwise, not going to happen. I can't see. Is there more than 10 people out there?
Yeah, yeah. It's way more than 10.
Yeah.
So many more than 10, plus all the people listening.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
the real audience. Now, you're also a painter.
I do paint. I like to paint caricatures of celebrities.
They're cool. Yeah. I think they're really.
A little washed up, but yeah.
I know you were saying backstage that one of your biggest artistic influences is George W. Bush. An artist.
That would be crazy.
I just see a lot of connection between his paintings and your paintings, and I was wondering if that's something that I'm just implying, or if that's there.
Well, maybe you're right. I never thought of it that way, because that's David Spade. And that's Trump.
But these are, and just for people that we have Chris Farley and we have
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, and it's really cool, really good. You're good.
Thank you. You know, love it. You got a minute?
Yeah.
I have a I have a book out. It's called I Exaggerate, and it's a book of all my caricature drawings. And when I was touring it around, you know, promoting it, I asked a few of the people in there if I could use their picture, just, you know, as courtesy. Jim Carrey was fine with it. Steve Martin was fine with it. And I sent it to his agent. His agent hated it. And then he sent it to him. The agent said, we sent it to him and his wife. They both hated it. He said, under no circumstances can you use this to promote your book. But what he didn't know is in every book, it's in all the books. You know. But a lot of people are asking where they can buy my art. Thank you for asking. And I've never really sold it anywhere until recently. I started a store online called KevinNealonArt.com.
So now, when did you start painting?
I started painting, well, you know, I started doodling when I was a kid. I used to live in Germany. So I remember going to a commissary back then on a military base, and some soldier had left a sketch on the napkin of himself with like the hat on, like a sad sack, and with a big nose. And I would just draw that over and over again. And then I started fiddling around with cartoons. And then my parents had great caricatures made of them, some Parisian artist. They weren't like the Disneyland caricatures, you know. Like, it was like really, really detailed and pastels. And I had them hanging on my wall in my room growing up. So when I laid down in bed, I was just subconsciously looking at them and studying them. And that was my big lesson right there. And then I just started sketching, you know. I'd see people. It was never like this detail. It was just quick stuff, like on SNL during the table read. If I wasn't in a sketch, I would just sketch like whoever's across me, Farley or, you know, Phil Hartman, whoever. And that's what I did. And then I started taking, I didn't take lessons, but I started looking at people's artwork on Instagram. And this is actually their work. I just cut it out and
pasted it. That's so smart.
Easier that way. Work smart, not hard.
Yeah, that's so smart. Those people are nothing. You're Kevin Nealon. They should be grateful you're using it.
I'm so jealous. You have settled into the cross-legged position.
That's right.
You started up high. You're coming down low.
Uh-huh. I'm settling in.
By the end of the night, your feet will be on the ground.
Potentially. Potentially. You know, they call this crisscross applesauce these days.
Well, you know what they used to call it?
Yeah.
Native American style.
That's right.
I will tell you this. I was just on tour with Adam Sandler, and we did a 40-city tour. And every venue was like Madison Square Garden. And it was like the most incredible experience to go out in front of that many people, similar to now. But and I only did like 10 minutes because there was a couple of us opening for him, like Spade and me and Nick Swartz, but it was one of these tours where you thought, this is how the big ones do it. Private jet at night, you know, you fly to the next city, you land, you go to a basketball court, you play basketball because he likes basketball, and then you go to the venue for sound check, and then the show happens 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and then every night at 11:30, they find some steakhouse, and it's like a king's meal, all this food on the table. And now it's 1 o'clock. You go back to the hotel. And I don't eat that late night, you know, but it's all about camaraderie. So you show up and then you go, oh man, all right, I'll have that. I'll have some fried onion rings. You know, and then before you know it, you're eating the ice cream and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And the same thing every day, picking up the bags, bag pickup at 10 at the Jet at 11, next city.
I don't think I could eat dinner that late night after night. I don't think my system could take it. Hey, you...
Yeah, right here, right here.
So Paul McCartney, you were talking to Paul McCartney,
yeah.
Your brother Paul McCartney, you were talking to him at the SNL 50th anniversary party.
Yeah.
And it seems like he may have sort of mistreated you in some way.
Well, he didn't mistreat me. I knew Paul from, you know, from being SNL over the years. He would have come in there a lot and do stuff. And so I kind of got to know him. And I forget when it was exactly, but over the years we got to know each other and we were both animal activists, right? And
pro.
Pro?
Pro animal.
No, 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 no. So anyway, yeah, so I knew him and we kind of had some fun conversations and exchanges and, you know, and so I saw him at the 40th reunion and I was looking down and he was about to go on with Paul Simon. I'm with my wife, and I'm looking down. I feel a tap. I look up. It's him. He goes, oh, how's it going? I said, hey, hey. You know? And so I didn't see him again for 10 years until the 50th one. And then we're in the after party, and it's at the Plaza Hotel. And he's just standing around, and Conan's talking to him, Conan O'Brien. And
I figured that was the Conan you meant. Not Conan, not Conan Schwartzman. It was Conan O'Brien.
Not Conan the Barbarian either.
Right. Huh?
Sometimes he gets confused for that guy. So I interrupt Conan and Paul. I didn't interrupt, but I wedged my way in there. And I said, hey, Paul, how's it going? Good. And then Conan's backed away, like a gentleman would, right? And so I have Paul all to myself. And I don't think Paul was happy with that. I felt like he maybe didn't even remember who I was. And I was just, you know, the small talk he must get all the time from everybody, you know? And I was just like right up there. I said, hey, that was a great choice of songs tonight, Paul. Golden Slumbers. He goes, oh, you know, it's what Lorne wanted me to do. And I said, yeah, well, but you had other songs to fall back on just in case, right? and he goes, yeah, you know. And, oh, let me introduce you to my my niece, my nephew. And so he brings me over to this group of like tall, nerdy looking guys, black curly hair. And it just brings me over there. And I start listening. He doesn't introduce me. And then he slowly walks away. He just walks away. That's how he got rid of me. And I thought, that's brilliant, man. That is brilliant. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to get a drink. I'll be right back. No. He goes, let me introduce you. Let me do you a favor and show you my family.
Were they actually his nephews?
No. No. They were like execs, you know, from NBC or something, I don't know. But I really felt guilty about that to this day. But while I was there, I was looking at him. And I grew up with the Beatles, so I was looking at his lips thinking, that's where all those songs came out of those lips. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Hey Jude and Golden Slumbers and just all, and I was looking at his lips as he was talking. I thought, there it is, right there. And the tongue was pushing it out. You know what I mean? I just got really kind of...
I'm sure that brought a great energy to the conversation. Has you just stared at his
Well,
mouth.
He was looking at my lips too.
Oh, so it's interesting.
Yeah, he was going, oh, that's where his driver's license, his son's driver's license jokes came from.
Yeah. When you think about the Paul McCartney's, you know, when he was first singing those songs, like all those cells have been since replaced. You know, it's sort of a Theseus' ship situation because it is the same sense lips, but really it's new material. Those lips are long gone.
The lips did have fillers in them.
Right, right. And then there's also filler. Then there's also filler. Now,
do you like the filler look?
Oh, no. No.
No? No. Not a fan?
No, I think it's something where it's like, well, here's what I think the test. I think I think people should do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
My personal taste on the whole thing is I want to look like no matter. I want to stay looking young. I'm not averse to doing anything. This hair I got it in Beverly Hills, and I did. Most of this is not from genetics. Most of it is from kind of a medical building.
Yeah.
By the mall.
Good for you.
Yeah. Several times. I will not. Yeah, I'm at the stage where at some point.
How old are you?
I am 43. And at some point, the hair doctor is going to grab my hand and he's going to say, we've reached the end. There's no more that we
happen.
Can do
that
for you.
That will happen.
It's time to just be with your loved ones.
That,
you know, that's
that happens
coming.
With everything.
Right.
They say that, you know, enough, it's done. It's no more.
Now, in your special, you talk about struggling a bit with apologies.
My special is called, thanks for asking me, it's called Loosen the Crotch.
Loosen the Crotch.
Yeah, yep.
Loosen the Crotch.
How did you come up with that name? Well, I'll tell you. It's kind of based on a joke I did. You know, I had a cat named Pierre, and I'm not a cat person. I don't like cats at all. I wish them well and success, you know, but I'm not... But this cat, man, he was the best. He was just so friendly, Pierre. And I had a pair of jeans at the time. Love it. They were like, sometimes you get these jeans that fit you perfectly. You know, mm-hmm. they're snug in the hip, tight in the butt, loose in the crotch.
Right.
Most of the time.
And that's where the special name came from.
Yeah. That cat loved my jeans. Whenever I got sat down, he would jump on my lap. He would not get off, you know. And so when he died, I thought it might be nice to wrap him up in those jeans, wrap him up and bury him with the jeans. And that's what I did. But that cat, I mean, this cat... I wish I could show him to you. And he's been gone for like 10 years now. And I do miss him, but not as much as those jeans.
Yeah, I was going to say,
what a
maudlin and sentimental waste of jeans.
Yes, I mean, I so regret it.
The cat is dead. You're alive. That's stupid. You should have kept the jeans. You're like lowering into ground, feeling so kind of what, proud of yourself for this symbolic act of losing the jeans because the cat liked him. The cat doesn't like it anymore. Cat's dead.
Thank you for reminding me, but I will tell you something, Lovett. You know, I like cookies. You know that.
Yeah.
And my wife told me a couple weeks ago, she goes, you know, jeans look a little tight on you. I said, yeah, because you got the heat on the dryer up too high. She goes, no, I think you got the stack of cookies up too high on your plate. So I said, well, you know, I've been wearing the same size jeans for 30 years. And so I like to prove a point. So I dug up my cat, Pierre, and I unraveled them from those jeans. Cat hair flying everywhere. Poo, poo. I chew. And I tried those jeans on, and guess what? A little tight. About loose in the crotch. Still.
Nice.
But you know what? Those jeans are back in my closet. That's
oh,
the
great.
Good
They're
thing.
Back in circulation. I'm happy for you. It seems it all Thank worked you. Out.
It did. And that cat lost so much weight, I got to tell you. Good for him. But a healthy amount of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not
so yeah, the special's coming out January 27th on YouTube, 800-pound gorilla.
Hey, it's time for a segment we're calling for Gettysburg Address.
Okay.
And here's how it works. The audience is going to throw up a dilemma, and you're going to help us think through an apology because you're working on your apology
skills.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I'm not a good apologist. Are you a good apologist?
I have a lot of practice.
Oh, you get in trouble a lot?
I'm good at apologies, I think.
Now you're moving away from the seat. You started at the top.
By the end, there'll be just criss-cross. The tiniest, very little. I will barely be on it. I could just be loose.
You're going to be lying on the floor.
Sometimes. You got to stay limber.
You know who Dick Van Dyke is?
Yeah.
You never know. You know, I'm older now. But I was at a party with him last year. Not a lot of people, but he's laying on the couch like this. And he's pretty limber. And it was one of these kind of couches where he couldn't stay. He slid down. He would slide down like every, you know, like every 5 minutes he'd have to go like that, you know. And then at the end of the night, he's having a little trouble getting up. So I help him up. I lost my balance. I almost fell on top of him. And I would have been the one who killed him.
You imagine being the one to take out Dick Van Dyke, because a century on this planet. Seems like he's going to live another... 50 years, and you just, oh yeah, Kevin Nealon took him out. That klutz.
Can you picture all of his bones cracking as I fell on him? Those brittle,
yeah.
brittle bones?
For sure. Ah. And you know what? He'd probably be a gentleman about the whole thing, you know? Don't worry about it all, you know?
I'm sure he would have been. Yeah, but a great guy, though, great guy. So what are we going to apologize? Here's how I used to start my apologies. This is the worst. I was the worst at apologizing. Here's how I would start them. Now you listen to me. Are we on the same page? All right.
You know what's a good way to start an apology? Relax.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Relax. A word that has never achieved the goal of its command.
Yeah. Relax. Am I understood? First of all, zip it.
Zip it. You don't hear a lot of zip it anymore. People aren't zipping it like they...
And you know, it's all Velcro now.
Yeah.
No, it is, when you think about it. Yeah, there's a lot of things people don't say anymore. You know, and I don't know what they are, but I'm sure there are. You know?
I have to apologize because we've blown through the time for this segment of apologies, but that's fine. This has been so entertaining.
That's how you apologize?
That was a sort of a light, loose one.
Here's the worst apology. when as a guy, this is not how to apologize. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
Oh yeah, that's
you can't put that can't if in there.
That doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
doesn't do that.
That crosses it all off.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
I'm sorry if you feel that way. Yeah,
I'm sorry if you feel that way.
You shouldn't feel that way, but you are.
I'm sorry I gave you that impression.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you came away thinking that that's what I meant.
I'm sorry I hurt you so badly, but you deserved it.
Yeah. You gotta, even, look, it is often, you know, it just sort of politically, you know that if you're issuing an apology, if you say the main bit of the apology,
yeah,
you know that even if what you want to do next is put all the caveats and excuses around it, you can't say but.
No,
you can't say it. You get in trouble.
And.
I'm sorry, but. Right. I'm sorry, and it's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's
right?
True. That is true.
Much more goes over smoother.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that. My friend had a great way to end an argument. He would say, you say your piece, let them say their piece, and then you come back to you, but at the end of your little bit, you go, but you might be right.
That's good.
That way they say, okay, you heard me. I'm in the running. I might be right.
Wow.
She should be thinking I am right, but she might be right. Try it. Try it when you get home. I'm sorry we took up so much time.
No, I'm enjoying talking to you.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Did I not? Is that? I have a strange energy. I've really enjoyed talking to you. Do you think I didn't?
No,
I'm sorry if that's how you felt.
Well, it is how I felt. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not that I'm not happy. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know what? You know what? You said your piece. I said my piece. You might be right.
I love it.
And with that, we'll be right back.
Take a break. Back after these. Take two, back in five.
Kevin Nealon, everybody.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Simply Safe. When it comes to home security, you want to feel like you pick the system that actually keeps trouble away, not one that just tells you something bad has already happened. That's why you need Simply Safe home security. It's not just another alarm. It's designed to help stop crime before it starts. Simply Safe uses AI-powered cameras outside your home to spot threats and instantly alert live agents, and this is what makes it different from the rest. Those agents actually take action when the intruder is still outside. They talk to them through the camera, let them know they're being watched and that police are on the way, and if needed, they can blast a siren and light them up with a spotlight. I've set up a Simply Safe system. It's incredibly easy to do. The customer support was great. The app was great, and it does give you peace of mind. It's really reliable, and it does feel great to be protected. Other systems might give you a camera and a notification, but they need you to see the alert and handle it. Simply Safe's monitoring agents have your back, even when you're busy asleep or on a plane. They're protecting over 5 million Americans and have been named best home security systems by U.S. News & World Report for 5 years in a row. And right now, you can get 50% off any new system this month only. It's a great time to upgrade to security that actually helps stop crime before it starts. Go to simplysafe.com/loveit. That's simplysafe.com/loveit. There's no safe like Simply Safe. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't require a new you, maybe just a less burdened you. Therapy can help you more easily identify what weighs you down and holds you back by offering an unbiased perspective to better understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions. Look, we got a lot of obstacles in our lives we got to learn to let go of, you know?
And a lot of emotions.
You know, maybe you feel a pressure to be a perfectionist, you know? Maybe you feel like you spent your whole life with undiagnosed ADHD. And even though that's like a trendy and almost like eye-rolly thing to say, you realize that it's cast a whole pall over the way you think about work and a lot of things in your life. You know, you realize that you've only been motivated by like anxiety and shame, when in fact, really what you were struggling with is the fact that your brain's stupid. That's why I got to get back to therapy. BetterHelp has quality trained therapists who work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps you identify your needs and preferences. And their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading matching fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, you could switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/loveit. Okay, wait, hold on a second. So what's our current plan?
What are we going to do with the information? So here's where we're at, just to catch everybody up. You were watching Salt Lake City. You thought, I have a way to figure out who's been sending me anonymous, mean-spirited texts. Was it public post or private?
No, they were emails.
They were emails. Oh. Wow, Proton emails, you know, like to you know, to take down the deep state. And you. And so you're getting these Proton. What is, can you give it, what is the tenor of the Proton of the email? What's the energy?
It's bullying.
Bullying.
Jealous
of your friendships. And maybe in love with one, but that's so demented.
Yeah.
So you're, and their emails are just mean-spirited personal emails.
Totally, yeah.
And it was clear that knows you. Wait, they've gone to other people.
Yeah. It's taken over our whole town. It's crazy.
It's taken over your town. Just this hate-filled anonymous emailer who's gonna hear all this on Saturday. Fascinating. Fascinating. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage a man who answers all of the Cosmos questions with "Damn, that's crazy!" It's the hilarious Frankie Quinones.
Good to see you. Nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
Frankie. Frankie's a great name to say.
It's a great name.
Thank you, Kevin.
Frankie.
Yeah, it's cooler than Kevin. You know?
Yeah, I know. Kevin's gone, man. No more Kevin.
John is so boring.
And you know, yeah, yeah.
Wait, so Frankie, you started this character Creeper, and he now has an expanded universe in a talk show on YouTube. And I do want to hear the origins of Creeper, but I do want people to see it and hear it before we talk about it. So I want to show a clip.
Oh. Yeah, homie, so it's 2026, homie. And in the new year, you got to set goals, homie. It's important, homie. You know what I'm saying? Like, with intention, eh? You know what I mean? Like, things that you've been putting off, things that maybe a little bit, oh, that's difficult, but I know it's better for my life. You know, it's important to set those goals, homie, so you can get it cracking. You know what I'm saying? So think about that. What are your plans for 2026? Hey, Rudy.
What's up, Connor?
What are your plans, homie, for 2026?
To binge watch The Wire.
I think it gives people a sense of it. So, how did you make a kind of, a gentle, loving Latino Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse? How did it come to be?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Creeper, is an inspiration from my dad and family. And then over time, he kind of, you know, his universe started expanding, his audience grew. And then I kind of just got to this point where I was like, I want to do something that just me and the homies could do in my own little space. And, you know, we made in my studio, we built like a replica of my grandpa's garage. And we're like, you know, so it's Creeper's Crib live from my grandpa's garage. And then it's just like, you know, and then the Pantufla already was a character in my world because he really did. They start ripping after a while. The slipper is Pantufla's slipper. And then so, you know, we started just making a voice to it pretty organically just around the house. We're like, oh, this guy's a new character. And then Rudy came to life. But yeah, you know, Pee Wee's Playhouse is a big event, big inspiration.
Yeah, you really commit. Like, you commit because the slipper goes on journeys, including to an IKEA, I believe.
Yeah. You went to IKEA to look for a desk. Yeah.
Now, what is this character like? There was a question as to whether or not you would do your special as the character or not, right?
Right.
And you decided, and Ali Wong directed it, and there was she wanted you to do it as you.
Yeah. Ali, she gave me some good advice. She was like, look, a lot of these people know you as these online characters or as an actor. She's like, but I know you as a great stand-up, and I think it's important that you show that side of you. And so, I took her advice, and then we built out the hour, and then recorded it and taped it.
That's cool. A lot of people tell me, well, I was
like,
gonna say,
was that a good idea?
No, I was gonna say, well, a lot of people say, oh, you do this show and people get to really see the real you. It's probably a good idea for you to hide that in a character if you're gonna do a special.
Right.
What else could you make this so that it's less about who you are as a person? That's sort of the feedback I get. So this is just a different dynamic we get.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, that's why I started doing characters that escape my childhood trauma. Like, hey, I'll become someone else, like, you know? So yeah, I totally understand that.
What do you do to escape your childhood trauma, Kevin Nealon?
I just move.
You got to keep moving. Stay ahead of the weather.
Moving. But Frankie, what's the name of your special? Is it Loose in what?
Damn, that's crazy. You're so loose in the crotch.
Oh, that's right. I like it.
And now you both worked on a film together, right?
Yeah.
Plant Man and Blondie, a dress-up gang film. I was not included in it. That's fine. how did that happen?
Yeah, well, I'm in a group called the Dress Up Gang. A good friend of ours, Kirk Fox, does a lot of stuff with us. Kirk Fox is a really good friend of Kevin. Obviously, I'm a stand-up. Kevin's a stand-up. He's like, you know, a legend in my eyes. And then so he came on. Yeah. So he was he did us a favor by stepping on this indie project for us. And thankfully, it came out great. His character's great. I sort of nervously approached him. I said, like, thank you, Kevin. Thanks for doing this. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Man. Well, then he introduced you to his nephews, if my understanding of what happened.
I call it a solid. I did him a solid.
Yeah. But yeah, we got into South by. It's going to premiere there. And, that's awesome. We're excited. Yeah.
That's great.
We got into South by South Sundance. Yeah. South by Sundance.
Yeah.
Now, in your special, Damn That's Crazy, which is out now on Hulu, you talk about alcohol, cocaine, and sex toy addiction during the pandemic. Now, hypothetically, if someone would say still dealing with those challenges post-pandemic, what would you recommend I do?
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to start looking from within, but also it's okay if you're still enjoying those toys and stuff and, do your thing.
Cocaine's a tough in the house drug.
It was rough, bro. It got weird for your boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just trying to kill the COVID with cocaine and I turned into a little lab rat with a fake butt. Just, okay, I'm in a relationship with like,
Interesting. I'll tell you the truth. The fake butt, I get it. The thing I don't, the cocaine in the home, because for me, weed made much more sense during the pandemic. That's a couch drug.
Yeah.
You know? And you can really use weed throughout the whole pandemic because you're just on the couch. But cocaine's an out of the house thing. Cocaine's an in the world thing. You must have been bouncing off the fucking walls.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I was just, shelter in place. You don't go anywhere. You're a good person. But yeah. I'm sober now, though, thankfully.
Yeah. Should I treat this more seriously, you think?
No, man. All right, no, it's good. I mean,
do you have any vices?
Me being alive, yeah, that's pretty serious. But yeah, so other than that, you could, yeah.
Frankie, you got any vices now aside from what you had? What's your guilty pleasure?
Thankfully, not as bad as that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But food? It's crazy when people, yeah, a little bit. But it is funny when people are like, oh, what's your vice? People go, oh, ice cream. I'm right. And I'm like, damn, dude, like, I was doing cocaine off a fake butt, like, in a relationship with it. Like, hey, we're going to get through this. You know, like, so, yeah.
It's like you're Wilson. You ever miss the fake butt? Did the fake butt have a voice that you now no longer hear?
Yeah, like, for sure. It was, I barely threw it out maybe like a few months ago. And it was a little ceremonial because we had been through so much. But it had like a bunch of lint on it and stuff. And I was like, it's time to go, you know, and you know, just... It was better to let that chapter of my life go, but yeah.
And then my understanding is that you put it out on the kind of raft, and then you had the archers fire the one lit arrow, and then poof,
yeah.
You know?
That's exactly what
my wife has a really fun thing in the bathroom. At least I think it's fun. It's a round embroidery thing, and it's embroidered, please refrain from doing coke in the bathroom. You know, like it's grandma's little embroidery thing. Frankie, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I like it. I like the wholesome, like,
you
want to
buy one? You want to buy it?
Sure. Yeah.
You can do coke off of it.
Yeah. No.
Huh.
What about heroin? Any heroin? You ever do black tar?
I smoked it before. Yeah, yeah. I smoked it.
You did smoke it?
Yeah. And I've ate it like it's been cut with ecstasy pills that I eat.
Oh, it was cut with
something.
Okay.
Yeah. But like you shouldn't. You could smoke it. Yeah.
But you shouldn't.
It's like, no, please don't.
But the point is that you shouldn't.
No,
right,
no.
Kevin Nealon?
Not good.
It depends on what you're able to do. How about meth? You ever do meth?
Yeah.
You did meth too?
Tried meth. Thankfully, I didn't get like hooked on that, but yeah.
What haven't you tried?
I never like used needles, thank God, but yeah.
What about lip fillers?
He said he didn't use needles.
I'm not that crazy. Yeah.
He's not. That's a needle drug, the lip fillers, and it does get you.
That
you
is,
know,
you're
like
right.
Meth. The filler gets a hold of people, and like you know, like people get addicted to meth, and they just look different after a year or two. People get addicted to the filler. They come back, you're like, what happened to you? And it's like,
yeah,
I got addicted to fillers.
And now you're almost sleeping on the chair.
I just went back and got addicted. Well, you said the Van Dyke thing, and I think it's stuck in my head.
I have a lot of aunts, so one of mine's got addicted to Botox, you know? Like, where it's like, it's weird, bro, eating with her and stuff. And when she laughs, she's like, you're so funny. You're so funny, mijo. And I'm like, ah, oh, I love you. Yeah.
You ever get Botox?
Yeah.
No Botox. No, no.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't like Botox. I'm an actor.
You know, so you want your face to move. Instrument.
In fact, I was teaching an acting class. It's called, for Botox, it's called how to...
for Botox.
How to say, what was it called? How do you get your eyes to say what your face won't? That was the name of the class.
Great class.
The windows of the soul.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I've had an acupuncture before.
Uh-huh. That's needles.
I thought it was Botox, but it turned out to be acupuncture. But no, that stuff doesn't work. You ever get acupuncture? Do you guys ever?
I got the one where it was just only like, you know, 5 or 6 total needles. It wasn't much.
On purpose?
Yeah.
I really need a double-blind study. I really need I really need something published in like the New England Journal of Medicine. And then that I really need to see that. If the acupuncture's in there, I'm in.
That sounds like such a cozy journal, doesn't it? The New England Journal of Medicine.
It sounds legit.
It's like there should be foliage on the front of it. A little covered bridge, you know.
A little gate, like, hey.
How about those little cups they put on your back?
I was going to bring that up. The suction cups sucks out all the toxins.
Anytime someone says this takes out the toxins, you should just hear, I just said bullshit. Anytime anyone says, oh, this gets rid of toxins, that is whatever that was, I don't care what that is simply made up.
Yeah, I've never seen a toxin. Have you?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Have you ever seen a gluten or a toxin? I have never seen that.
Never seen a gluten.
Yeah, no. Never seen a gluten.
Never
either.
Seen a gluten. But I'll tell you what I have seen. A transition to our next segment.
Yeah. That was dope, man.
Sweet. That was dope.
that was professional.
It's very dope. Very dopish.
It's time to crack open the egg of truth and suck out some existential yolks. What? All right. Here's how it works. We're going to open up the egg of truth and we're going to answer the questions.
Okay,
here we go.
This one of those suction cups.
Frankie, first question is for you. White women, net good or bad for the world?
White women?
Yeah.
Oh, we need them.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Dude, they're...
That's a relief.
They're on the front lines for us. Yeah.
Stand down, ladies.
Thank you, guys. Repeat.
All right, let's do another one.
But yeah, say thank you, white women.
Okay.
Same question, please.
let's see what this one says. Okay. What does the 10-second rule start, Kevin, when the food falls or when you notice the food has fallen?
It starts as soon as I come across that food on the ground. Yeah. And it's not quite 10 seconds. It could be however long it takes. Yeah.
Huh.
But that is an interesting kind of a concept, isn't it? The 10-second rule.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's on the floor for 1 second, that's all that matters, you know? So it might as well be a half a minute rule. Frankie?
Oh, man, you got me doing a lot of calculations right now. I'm like, okay, it hits the ground. I think 5-second rules, it's like little things can crawl in it. Maybe that's what that is.
Can I tell you something? And I'm nervous for what I'm about to say, which is I eat off the ground.
You
full
do?
Stop.
It's good for your meat.
It's clean
floor. If it's dry and I'm indoors and it doesn't seem like there's a problem.
What if it's wet on tile?
Wet? No wet. If it's wet, it's over. Any wet, if the food was wet, if the floor is wet, if both are wet, it's out. Nothing can be wet because that picks everything up. If it's wet, it's a no. Yeah. But if I drop an almond.
What if it's raining? Then it's like kind of already getting clean. You know?
That's wet to me.
Okay.
But if I drop food on the ground and I see it fall, I pick it up. And because I know it makes other people a little bit uncomfortable, and I feel like if I don't acknowledge it, other people might feel strange. what happens is, and I believe, I'm telling you the truth, this happened yesterday at the office. I was in a conversation, I was prepping for an interview, and I was talking to the producer, and we're going back and forth, and I was having some almonds, and I dropped an almond on the floor, and I reached down and picked it up, and I said, I'm going to eat this, and it's fine. And I just ate the almond, because I want to acknowledge it, and maybe that's stupid. Now that I say, the way you're looking at me, I feel bad.
No, I think, I was just going to ask you, you know, Frankie and I wanted to ask you this question. When this is a thing, I never knew it before, but when you have a little something on stain on your shirt and you go like that, you know, and then if you go back with the same finger, I was with somebody that goes, oh, no, you can't do the same finger. You know, you got to do a different finger. Okay. You cleaned it with that one already. You don't come back and lick what you just cleaned up. Frankie, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, it does to me.
Next question. Do you think you could start a religion if you tried hard enough? Either one can take it.
Well, Frankie and I actually started a religion.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that you're bringing this up.
Yeah, we were we were the two cult figures in it.
Oh, that's cool.
And we had gowns. Frankie, tell them about our gowns that we had.
Oh man. Well, we grew up together watching you, so it was like we had these gowns.
They were Lovett gowns.
We had these gowns that would go over. It was at mostly at your mom and dad's house.
But yeah. And they were embroidered on the back. They said, "Please refrain from sleeping with either one of us in the bathroom."
Yeah,
Frankie.
Hey, Kevin, I have a question. So when you said, I grew up watching you, do people say that to you?
Yeah.
They do. And so is that a little preemptive thing you now do sometimes?
Yeah.
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 It's funny.
No, it is interesting when a 60-year-old comes up to me and says, I grew up watching you.
No.
Or here's another one. I love it. Some attractive woman will come over to me. I go, oh, here we go. And she'll go, you remind me of my father. My parents love you. Remember that, Frankie?
Yeah, yeah. How does that make you feel?
I feel great.
Hell yeah.
Somebody likes me.
Are you comfortable getting older?
Yes, because it's a very slow process.
Right.
If it happened quickly, it would be uncomfortable. And you do it slowly, you get to have things fixed along the way.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I've had a lot fixed.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Do you worry about getting older, Frankie? What it's like to
not as much as I used to, yeah.
Really? You were used to worry about it more?
I mean, I just kind of didn't. I was just, I don't know.
We were doing all the cocaine. Exactly. Not worried about really anything.
Everything was numb. You know,
everything was kind of crazy.
But yeah, I do think it takes a strong person to grow older. But
When I get a Frankie, man? When I... when I'm in a car and there's a driver and he looks really old, I'll say, when did you graduate high school? And it'll be like 5 years before I did or after I did. And I go, oh man, this guy's not taking care of himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I do know what you mean. Well, I often do want to know how old people are and then just gauge how I'm doing against them. Like,
exactly.
I don't feel bad about getting older, but I want to know that I'm doing well. Like, I want to do it right. Like, I don't need to look younger than someone younger than me, but I do need to look younger than someone older or my own age. So that is important.
I mean, you're like, I actually got pissed off when I heard how old you are.
How old are you?
I'm 43.
43.
But I got...
He's doing the Native American sitting like here and there. And we were in the back watching. You're like, I can't do that anymore. Again.
We have a yoga class here? What's going on?
Listen, all you have to do is say, all right, this hair, Beverly Hills, the current weight is because of Ozempic.
Oh, really? You lost a lot of weight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did Ozempic?
Fuck yeah.
I love Ozempic. Yeah.
And it was hard too, because when I was trying to get it, it was like shortages and all the diabetics needed it. And so it was like,
diabetics.
It's like, come on, like get me in front of this fucking sugar losers.
Okay, so you're doing all the things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, good for you for taking care of yourself.
But no fillers.
Yeah. I love it.
Nice.
Can I ask you just a serious question before we wrap this segment, which is there's such a kind of sweetness and gentleness to the show. And it is at a time when, with such love for your community, and it is at a time where a lot of people who are Latino, who are Mexican, feel like they're targeted for being Mexican. Like, do you feel that in making the show? Do you think about that in your stand-up? Like, do you feel that in your life? Like, what right now does it feel like to be wanting to make something kind of loving and kind in a world that is less loving and kind?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, my comedy always has like a layer of optimism or warmth, even though my topics get crazy, pretty vulnerable. But, you know, we need each other more than ever right now. And it's so like mind blowing. I feel like I'm in a show and there's so much pain and so much heartache. You can only donate so much and do this. So I'm just trying to do my little part of just like showing up for people to give them an escape from it, but also show up for them in whatever else way they need me. But connection is what we need more than anything, you know, just like right now. Because I think we went through a stage where we're just like so divided and so da da da. We're like, yo, homie, look at how crazy this is. But also, yeah, don't fuck with the kids, homie. What are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we will be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Policy Genius. Have you had a moment with family that made you appreciate the life you've created together? Did you welcome a new member to your family, perhaps a new friend, child, or through marriage? Did you reflect on progress made, about how grateful you are for it? Maybe you've had a moment where you realized you're building something wonderful or meaningful in your life. I'm getting married this year.
Yeah.
That's something I'm doing. You know,
and I think perfect time to get life insurance.
Yeah, this one's going to stick too. I feel good about this one. And you know, everybody needs life insurance because it can ease the gravity of protecting what matters most. And maybe it feels overwhelming to figure out how to provide for your loved ones and plan for their financial future, especially if you, you know, head to the big podcasting studio in the sky. Start the new year with clarity and security. Lock in your life insurance today. Policy Genius is an online insurance marketplace that allows you to compare quotes from some of America's top insurers side by side for free. Their licensed team helps you get what you need fast so you can get on with your life, easily find what you need, coverage amounts, prices, terms, no guesswork, just clarity. I guess all the podcasts are probably ad-free in heaven.
I wouldn't bet on that.
Policy Genius helps you find your most affordable policy that meets your needs. They answer questions, handle paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the process. Policy Genius has thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot from customers who found the best policy to fit their needs. With Policy Genius, real users have gotten 20-year, $2 million policies for just $53 a month. Ease the way to protecting a wonderful life. Head to policygenius.com to compare life insurance quotes from top companies and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. And we're back. Before we get to our final segment, one note. Crooked Media's newest book, Hated by All the Right People, Tucker Carlson and the Unraveling of the Conservative Mind, is releasing next week on January 27th. So you can read the book and watch Kevin's special same day.
That's right. That's correct.
Loosen the crotch.
Both on YouTube.
Both on YouTube. The book is a book. So it's not on YouTube, but it's by one of our favorite political journalists, New York Times Magazine writer Jason Zengerle. Tommy just interviewed Jason on Tuesday's pod, and they had a great conversation that you should check out. This is your last week to pre-order the book to get the discount, so go to crooked.com/books to get your copy. You can check out Jason's dates where he's going to be doing talks and book signings. You can help make sure it gets on the bestseller list. It's a great story, not just about Tucker Carlson, but about what that kind of media and its influence, what his rise represents in terms of what's happened to our politics. And it's a great, entertaining read. It's interesting, but I also think it's valuable. So check that out. Okay. It's now for our favorite segment. It's a new segment where I look back on this very show and see if I regret anything. Okay. In a segment we call Second Thoughts. First up, when Kevin, you brought up
Go ahead.
Iconic Saturday Night Live legends, including Phil Hartman, rather than follow up with any kind of question about it, I started talking about sitting crisscross applesauce. And I think I really missed an opportunity.
Well, that was my fault because I asked you about it.
Yeah, but I'm the host. I could have taken us back to kind of something more interesting. I could have helped you tell some interesting story, but instead I didn't.
Yeah, but I enjoy the way you sit, but you might be right.
I also, one regret I also have is that given some of the empty silences that I enjoyed, you felt the need to grab hold of the show and basically start hosting it yourself at several points. And I just want you to know I regret that.
Well, you shouldn't regret that because that's my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing, no bearings on you at all. Okay. I don't like long empty spaces like that. You know what I mean?
No. Now, Frankie.
Yeah.
This is a similar.
It's always about Frankie, isn't it?
Similar regret. I don't really regret that Kevin jumped in to ask you questions while we were talking. Mm-hmm. I regret that his questions were better than anything that I was going to ask. I think that he had great follow-ups, and I was like, God, I should ask a follow-up like that, but they didn't come to me in the moment, and so I regret that.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry that he gave you that impression. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry that you feel that way. But no, I think you know, Kevin's Kevin.
Well,
man.
What do therapists say about regrets?
I wouldn't know. I'm too busy to go.
Ask me if I've had any regrets.
Hey, Kevin, have you had any regrets?
I've had a few. But not enough to mention.
Frankie,
give me a high five.
Another regret is I think I probably shouldn't have talked so much about how seriously I am about eating off the ground.
It was a lot of wet.
Yeah.
That was kind of gross. I would say that was
gross. A lot
gross.
Of gross
visuals. Yeah, I think it's gross, probably.
It's like, hey, get it. You know,
not very healthy.
But is it bad? I don't know.
Well, you didn't get sick. You never got sick from it, right?
I mean, I've gotten sick.
Oh, from that?
From that almond? How do you know? No one ever knows. People always say, I got sick from this. They don't fucking know. Nobody ever knows. Because no one ever says, whenever anybody gets sick, it was the Taco Bell. It's like, was it? Was it? I mean, that's obvious. Of course you point the finger at Taco Bell, but you never say, oh, I got sick. I had Taco Bell and my mother's famous lasagna. I think it was my mom that did it. Like, you never say that. Taco Bell's the easy scapegoat.
That's what people say when they fart, too. Okay, I had an egg salad sandwich. They want to go through the whole menu, what they
had. That's what's causing me to fart. Yeah. It's like, nah, you just had a fart, homie. It's not that big deal.
Frankie, do you have any regrets about tonight?
Where do you start?
Yeah, jeez. Where do I start? Yeah. No, not really. It's kind of crazy to see your ankles out, because in my community, when you show somebody your ankles, especially dudes, you know, we get sock checked.
What? Tell me about this.
Yeah. So like I don't really know you like that. Like, wow, you're showing me your ankles like right away.
Are you a Victorian? No. like is this a sexual come
so,
on? My both
no,
my
no,
feet
no,
are
like,
on
so
the ground.
You're like, oh, like you go like sock check, homie.
And then what is
somebody's
got
that's when you get sock checked and you got to show your socks, you know?
But what is showing the what is the problem with the ankle?
It's just it's like real like whoa.
It's a thing in our culture that we it's really goes against all of our.
So I'll
you know
you, it's interesting because I really struggle. I feel stuck between two worlds of socks, between no show millennial style and the more. What's interesting too is so because when you're a kid you're like oh that's a dad outfit you know like what Kevin's wearing and so like.
Right.
You know, like that's a dad outfit.
I regret that.
But the thing is, in your mind, the dad outfit is frozen. But of course, it's not frozen. What I'm wearing now becomes the dad outfit. And one of the things that's part of the dad outfit is the no-show socks. The kids wear the longer socks. But I put them on. I feel ridiculous.
Okay.
I feel ridiculous when I'm not wearing my no-show socks. I can barely wear the socks with that go up the leg to the gymnasium.
Wow. Okay. So we call feeling that breeze on your ankles.
I like that breeze.
We call that the no-see-ums.
Yeah.
Those on the East Coast.
They call them the no-see-ums there. Yeah.
The itchy down there? You got itchy?
No.
You get itchy?
I was just gesturing at the ankle.
You ever get Botox?
It's a good size
ankles?
Ankle.
What? I've never
fillers?
Had Botox.
Yeah, fillers.
Down there. It's a filler. Yeah.
Fillers.
My ankles are looking
ankle fillers.
Old.
Cankles. You want cankles? We'll give you some ankle fillers. Frankie?
He's like, yeah, let's do it.
I just like saying Frankie.
It's a great name. Yeah. It's a great name. There's great energy. Frankie. It's a great energy. I enjoyed this show.
Yeah.
I don't have any regrets.
I thought all your questions were great.
This was a lot of fun. I love this.
We had a great time. Everybody had a great time. Kevin, his stand-up special, Loose in the Crotch, is on the YouTube channel for 800 Pound Gorilla. And also, you were a producer of Catch Me in the Good Light. The documentary.
Come See Me in the Good Light.
Come See Me in the Good Light with just guys, the two I, that
Tig Notaro
produced. Yep. And it's really great. It's
yeah,
a beautiful
we're,
documentary.
My wife and I are executive producers with some other people. It's called Come See Me in the Good Light. It's on Apple TV right now, and it's been nominated for a documentary Oscar.
That's so exciting because Tig has been on this show, and we talked about it. It's been so amazing to watch the journey of this movie. It's a beautiful movie. So congrats about
that.
That's
you
very
guys should
cool.
see it. Apple TV. Come See Me in the Good Light.
And KevinNealonArt.com. So that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to get that Christopher Walken. Is that still up there? Or is that gone?
No, it's there.
Hell yeah.
Beat
me to
it,
bitches.
Under no circumstances can you get it.
Do you think he really didn't like it? Genuinely didn't like it? Is that real?
Hated it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But you put it back, but you still put it in the book.
Well, it's already in the book. I'm not going to rip every page out of every book.
Don't ask for permission. Beg for forgiveness.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
I think that's cool. And Frankie's stand-up special, Damn That's Crazy, is on Hulu right now and on YouTube at Frankie Quinones for Creeper's Crib, which is so funny. Everybody should check it out. Your tour dates at frankiequinones.com. That is our show.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much to Kevin Nealon and Frankie Quinones. We'll see you next week right here at Dynasty Typewriter. There are 283 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Subha Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. It's